This message, titled The Sleeping Christian, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.org. Brothers and sisters, I have a friend who at the end of every day scribbles a note to herself. It's short, but at the conclusion of every day, she writes these words: "We are one day closer to the return of Jesus." And indeed, it's a very simplistic thing to write, but it is a profound truth, isn't it? It's profound and it is encouraging. Especially as you think about our day and age, you think about the problems of our society and of our culture, here is a truth to plant your feet on. Jesus is returning. And at the end of every single day, we are, in a very real sense, one day closer to the day when Jesus is going to come back. Now, when is Jesus going to come back? Of course, as we've been seeing in this letter, we have no clue. It has not been revealed to us. God has not told us the day nor the hour in which Jesus will return. But what will the return of Jesus be like? As we've seen in these words from Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, that day when Jesus returns is going to be a surprise. It's going to come like a thief in the night. It is going to be sudden, the way in which destruction overcomes a city. And it is going to be sure, the way in which a pregnant woman is overcome by the pains of labor. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say there is going to be no escape. There is no power in heaven or on earth or in hell underneath the earth that can stop the return of Jesus Christ or halt it or pause it. And for some, the return of Jesus is going to be a day of tremendous destruction. But for others, the return of Jesus, and I pray it's true of all of us tonight, for some, that day is going to be as welcomed as the rising sun of a new morning. And so, of course, the question, as we've been going through this letter, is then, why do we need to know these things? Is this just a simple fact that the authors of this letter want us to tuck away in our heads, to speculate about, to think about in an ivory tower way? Well, of course not. Rather, the emphasis that comes to us here in this fifth chapter, the emphasis that comes to the forefront is this: we may not know when Jesus is going to return. We know what that day is going to be like. And so the great need for every single one of us, for me and for you, is that we would be prepared. We'd be prepared for the return of Jesus. And how do we prepare for that? Well, we saw last week that the first step in preparing for the return of Jesus has to do with who we are. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say there's two kinds of people in this world. There are those who are children of the night. There are those who are children of the day. There are those who live in darkness. There are those who live in the light. And as we saw last week, what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are contrasting there in those words, in particular in verses 4 and 5, is the contrast between believers and unbelievers. So if you want to be prepared for the return of Jesus, first and foremost, they are telling us this: you need to be a believer. You need to trust. And you need to have faith by which alone we are saved. That's the first step to preparing for the return of Christ. But that's not all. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy don't just leave us there and say, well, you know, as long as you're a believer, that's really all that matters. As long as your identity is that you're a child of the light, then you're good to go. Rather, they add, if I can put it this way, that to be prepared is not only a matter of who you are, but it is a matter of what you are then to do. Look with me at verse 6. They write, "So then, So then. And the force of what they continue to say, beginning in verse 6 through the 10th verse, the force is simply this. If you want to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ, you need to be who you are. You are children of light, so be children of light. You are children of the day, so live and act in a manner that is consistent with being children of the day. Simply put, what they begin to write here is, if you want to be prepared for the return of Jesus, then you need to live out who you are in Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, very practically, you can see this in verse 6. There's two ways that we live out being children of the light. In verse 6, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. How do you prepare for the return of Jesus? What responsibility is on each of us as we are children of light? That we would be awake and that we would be sober. And it's the first of these this evening, that captures my attention. It's the first of these that I want to focus on. How are you to prepare for the return of Jesus Christ? You are to wake up. You are to live your life not in a state of sleep, but you are to live your life as those who are awake to the tremendous truths and realities of God and Jesus Christ. And so this evening, I want to look at this theme of being awake. I'm going to do so under 3 points. First, I want to give you a picture of sleepiness. A picture of sleepiness. Secondly, I want to focus on the inconsistency of sleepiness for the Christian. And finally, the remedy of sleepiness. So first this evening, I want to begin with a picture of sleepiness. Again, look with me at verse 6. I want you to see what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy write. They write, so then, right? They've just finished writing, this is who we are, who are we? They say, you are children of light, you are children of the day, you are not of the night, we are not of the darkness. In verse 6, so then, let us not sleep. Now, I hope it goes without saying that what they're writing here has nothing to do with physical sleep, does it? Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are not saying, well, here's how you live as a Christian, never go to bed at night. We know we sing in the Psalms that sleep is a gift of God. The psalmist sings that God gives sleep to his beloved. They're not speaking here in terms of physical sleep. We also need to be aware that they're not speaking here of sleep in terms of death. I raise that point because if you remember in chapter 4, verse 13, that is the way in which sleep is used. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. And we saw that sleep is a tremendous metaphor that God gives to the believer for what it means to die, to be at rest, to close our eyes in this life only to open them in the next. And that metaphor of sleep for death is going to be one that they return to in verse 10 of chapter 5, but it is not what they mean here. Rather, when in verse 6 they write, so then let us not sleep, if I can put it this way this evening, sleep is being taken in an ethical sense. And what I mean by that is, as they write to us, so then let us not sleep. The sleep there stands for what we might call spiritual laxity. It stands for spiritual lethargy. It is a picture for us of what it looks like to live life with a lack of concern for spiritual things. And tonight I want you to feel the alarming force of these words. Because as Paul and Silvanus and Timothy write this, they are writing it not to the world around us. They are writing it to Christians. And they are saying, let us not sleep. So that the inference, brothers and sisters, is this, that it is possible to be a real Christian, to be one who truly has saving faith in Jesus Christ, to be one whose future inheritance is secure through the gospel of Christ, and still be someone whose life is characterized by spiritual sleep. This is not a given. Just because you are a Christian, just because you are a believer, it is not a given that you are therefore spiritually awake. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, with everything they have within them, and this is a repeated theme again and again and again and again to the churches in the New Testament, are saying, don't you be characterized in your Christianity as one who has no concern for the things of God. Wake up! Don't be a Christian who sleeps. Don't be a Christian whose eyes are closed and whose ears are deaf to the things of God. Do not be a sleeping Christian. But of course, naturally, we want to know, well, what does that look like then? If that's the alarming force with which these words come, that a true believer can be a sleeping Christian, how do we diagnose it? How do we discern, to make it very personal, how do I discern if I'm a sleeping Christian? When you look at, and this is one of the illustrations that the Bible uses again and again, when you look at the scriptures, you get a picture of what this sleepiness looks like. To be, brothers and sisters, a sleeping Christian is to be an apathetic Christian. It's a very vivid picture of that in the Song of Solomon. Without descending into all the interpretive questions that have plagued the Song of Solomon throughout the history of the church, Song of Solomon chapter 5, one of my very favorite chapters in all the scriptures, there is a scene that unfolds for us. If you're familiar with Song of Solomon, you know it's a song. It is really a dialogue that exists between a bride and her groom, and of the mutual covenant love and delight that they have for one another. And in Song of Solomon 5, the scene that unfolds for us is that the bride says in Song of Solomon chapter 5, verse 2, I sleep, but my heart is awake. And there she records for us, in the fifth chapter, that she had retreated to her chambers for the evening, and she'd taken off her shoes and she'd prepared herself for sleep. And there in Song of Solomon 5, as the scene unfolds, her beloved, her groom, comes and he knocks on the door. And he says to her, open to me, my love. Come and open the door. And he tries to woo her and to allure her with the words of love. But the tragedy of Song of Solomon 5 is that this bride is overcome by apathy. And even as the groom knocks on the door and says, open to me, she begins to come up with excuse after excuse. I've actually taken my shoes off, so you expect me to get out of my bed, walk across the room, and open the door? That's what she says. And it's a picture of tremendous apathy, tremendous complacency, that this bride is unwilling to go and to open the door to the one whom her heart loves. And it's a perfect picture of a sleeping Christian. One whose heart is completely apathetic. Apathetic to the love of the Father. Apathetic to the grace of Jesus Christ. Apathetic to the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying there's a way that you can be a Christian. And you can be apathetically sleepy. The Bible gives us a picture not only of apathy, but to be a sleeping Christian means in a very particular sense that you're especially vulnerable to sin. There's a picture of that in Matthew 26, that evening in which Christ is betrayed. If you remember, what is it that he does with his disciples? He goes to the garden. And there he says to his disciples, I want you to stay here and I want you to stay awake. Whatever you do, stay awake. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to pray. And Jesus goes over there and he prays for a little while and he returns. And what does he? Well, all his disciples are sleeping. And he wakes them up and he says, can't you just stay awake for an hour? Can't you just stay awake? He says, no, stay awake. I'm going to go pray again. And he retreats to the corner of the garden. He comes back and what does he find? He finds his disciples are asleep again. And I know that there in Matthew 26, that the sleep of the disciples is physical. But Jesus himself there in the garden draws from it a spiritual diagnosis. And he says, here's the truth of you disciples. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. And then do you remember what he says to them? He says, pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Jesus realizes in that moment as they are overcome with not only a physical but a spiritual sleepiness, they are in a particular sense more vulnerable to the temptations of Satan. They are more inclined to yield and to be subdued by the allurement of Satan and sin and to give temptation the upper hand. And it's a picture of what it means to be a sleeping Christian. To be one who is vulnerable to the temptation of sin. And without much resistance, and without much fighting, and without much resolve, you yield again and again and again. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say, do not sleep. The Bible gives us a picture not only of apathy and vulnerability. The Bible also pictures this sleeping Christian in terms of restlessness. What do I mean by that? You remember Matthew 25. A number of months ago, we looked at that parable of the 10 virgins. Each of them had a lamp. And you remember how Jesus tells that parable that the bridegroom had announced that he was going to come. These 10 virgins begin to prepare themselves and the bridegroom doesn't come. And he doesn't come. And he doesn't come. And all 10 of the virgins, as the bridegroom delays his coming, grow tired and weary and fatigued. You almost get the sense when you read Matthew 25 that they grow a little bored, a little restless. We're just tired of waiting. Tired, tired, tired of waiting. We are restless. And they fall asleep. And it is a picture, brothers and sisters, of what can happen, often does happen to Christians. We grow restless with the things of God. We grow bored with the things of God. And we enter into a state of sleep. And Paul and Silvanus and Timothy are saying, do not fall asleep. To be a sleeping Christian is to be one at times who seeks to satisfy the flesh. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says this to the church in Rome. He says, wake up. He says, it is time for you to wake up. And why? in Romans 13:11. He says, you need to wake up because you need to cast off sexual immorality. You need to cast off sensuality. You need to cast off quarreling and arguments and jealousy. All of these things, Paul says in Romans 13, these things that are gratifying to the flesh, but they're not in keeping with the things of God. And Paul is saying, here's a wretched truth. Even Christians can live in a way where we seek to gratify the flesh. There are Christians who can be some of the most quarrelsome people in all the world. There are Christians who can be the most jealous, envious people in all the world, and bitter and angry. It is possible to be a Christian and to fall into a pattern of tremendous sexual immorality. And Paul there in Romans 13 says you need to wake up. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say here, do not sleep. This picture of sleepiness extends as well. What is a sleeping Christian? Another element that we are given in the Bible is that a sleeping Christian is a weak Christian. A Christian who is not characterized by spiritual strength, but spiritual weakness. We get a picture of that in Revelation chapter 3. Jesus gives a letter to the church in Sardis. And Jesus says of this church, he says, you know what, I know you've got a great reputation. Everybody around you thinks there's a model church. And Jesus says, essentially, but I see behind the reputation. You think you're strong. You think you are so strong. But Jesus says, I see behind the reputation, and the words that Jesus uses, he says, it is time for you to wake up. He goes on to say, you need to strengthen what's about to die. Everybody around you thinks you're strong. I see you're dying. And you need to wake up. And Jesus says you do because I find that your work is incomplete. A Christian that is marked by spiritual weakness. It's not only a shame for a Christian to be marked by spiritual weakness, but it is an indication that you are a sleeping Christian. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say, do not sleep. Friends, I offer that picture simply as a diagnosis to this fact. It is possible to be a real Christian and yet be fast asleep, to be apathetic, to be vulnerable to temptation, to be restless, to be satisfying the desires of the flesh, and to be marked by weakness. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy say, let us not sleep. It's a picture of sleepiness. But in the second place, and briefly this evening, I want you to notice the inconsistency of sleepiness. The inconsistency. What do I mean by that? Well, again, look at verse 6. So then, let us not sleep. And then you'll see three words that are inserted there. Let us not sleep as others do. Quite literally, that expression, as others do, is let us not sleep like the rest. Like everyone else. And of course, to the diligent person who reads and studies the scriptures, the question naturally arises, well, who are these others? If Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying, don't sleep, let us not sleep as others do, who are the others? Who is all the rest whose lives are characterized by this sleep? I want you to remember this evening the context. We've already touched on it, but the context of what Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are writing, they're contrasting, aren't they? They are contrasting the children of darkness with the children of light. They are contrasting children of the day and children of the night. They are contrasting here in these verses the believer with the unbeliever. So to put it very simply this evening, who are the others of verse 6? So then let us not sleep as others do. Who are the rest? Very simply, all the others are unbelievers. And they're saying this is what characterizes those who are not Christians. This is what characterizes those whose identity is the children of the night, the children of darkness. So that the force, and I just want you to get this evening, the force of this is that we are being told, don't sleep. Why? Because that's what unbelievers do. It's not what believers do. It's what non-Christians do. It's not what Christians do. I don't know this evening how to adequately stress, especially in the midst of the cultural discussions that are raging around us, how fundamentally important it is as Christians for us to let the Bible interpret our identity. We don't let culture interpret our identity. We don't let psychology interpret our identity. We don't let philosophy interpret our identity. We don't let the rising and falling of cultural movements interpret our identity. We let the Bible do it. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are offering here in these few short words an interpretation of the identity of unbelievers. They are those who sleep. An unbeliever is one who is apathetic to the things of God. An unbeliever is one who is vulnerable in every way to temptation. An unbeliever is one who is restless and bored with the things of God. An unbeliever is one who seeks in every way to satisfy the desires of the flesh. An unbeliever is one who lives in weakness. And Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are simply saying, don't you dare fall asleep, because when you do that, you're living like unbelievers. When you do that, you're not living out who you are in Jesus. You're not living out your identity in Him as children of the light and as children of the day. You are being inconsistent with who you are in Jesus Christ. You know, it's amazing to me. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament, when God brings Israel out of Egypt, you remember how He did that with all the signs and wonders, and the people begin to follow Moses into the wilderness to go and worship God, what do the people almost immediately do? They start grumbling. And they start complaining. And they say, Moses, it's a mighty little thing you've done. Rescuing us out of Egypt. We were better off in Egypt. We liked it more. There we had food. There we had comfort. There we had security. And they began grumbling and complaining how desperately they wanted to go back to Egypt. Envying what was there. And any of us see, I hope, how inconsistent that is. You've just been freed from the household of slavery and bondage. You are free people. And all you want to do is march back into slavery and bondage. And you see, in a very real sense, as Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, as they write this, they're saying, you know, we're not that different from Israel, are we? Many, many people who are Christians envy the way unbelievers live with a fierce jealousy. I just want to be like them. I want to be like the world. I want to be exactly like them. I want to live my life on the terms with which they live their life. And Paul Silvanus and Timothy call a pox on it all. Don't you dare fall asleep. That's what unbelievers do. So that even as a Christian, when you become a sleeping Christian, you are being completely contrary and inconsistent to who you are in Jesus Christ. To put it this way, when you give way to be a sleeping Christian, it's a functional denial of who you are. It's the inconsistency of sleepiness. But finally this evening, I want to land on this point, the remedy of sleepiness. Now, there's a blessed simplicity with which this is written. Look again with me there at verse 6. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us not sleep as others do. Okay, we get the point. So the question then turns, okay, so how do I do that? If I'm not going to sleep like unbelievers do, if I'm not going to be characterized and defined in that way, how then do I do that? And this is really simple. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake. It'd almost be comical if it wasn't so serious. How do you not sleep? By staying awake. That is the one remedy. That is the one thing that you do to solve this spiritual sleepiness in your life. How do you do it? You keep awake. Stay awake. You know, last night, most of you know that our family was in Minnesota for a wedding this weekend. And last night we began driving back a little later than we intended. We didn't get on the road till a little after 9 o'clock. And Rachel and I were debating who's going to drive first, who's going to do this. We're both very tired. And Rachel was able to make it for the first hour and a half or so. And she got very tired. And so I said, okay, well, it's my turn. I will drive. And I had one goal. I had one objective in the 5 hours that I drove. The one goal and the one objective was stay awake. Whatever else happens is all I need to do. I need to stay awake as I'm driving. And so, of course, I did whatever it took. I stopped at a gas station. I got a giant cup of coffee at 10:30 at night. I got a giant pop, and sunflower seeds are my secret to staying awake when I'm driving. And then I turned music on, and I drove, and that was the one remedy. I can't fall asleep. I can't. Whatever happens, I can't do it. It's dangerous. I just need to stay awake. And friends, that's the simplicity of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy are saying. How do you not sleep as others do? Stay awake. Keep awake. Don't close your eyes. Don't give in to the temptation to be lulled to sleep. The word that they use here, keep awake, be variously translated. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be watchful. And they are saying, here is what the Christian life is to be characterized by. Not by sleepiness, not by being inoculated, but by being those who are alert and vigilant and watchful. And of course, the question is, what does that look like? Practically, what does that look like? That looks like being people who at all times are aware. Here's what I mean by that. In Romans 13, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "The hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed." Very simply, this is just so mundanely practical. Paul is saying, you want to be one who's characterized by being awake? Be someone who's aware. Aware of eternal realities. Aware of the fact that the end of all things is coming. And it is drawing nearer and nearer every single day. The hour has come for you to wake up from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. How do we keep awake? We keep awake by being careful, by living our lives not with a sense of carelessness, but living our lives with gospel-centered carefulness. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:17, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And then he immediately adds, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time and understanding what the will of the Lord is." You want to stay awake? You want to keep awake? You want to be a Christian that does that? Live your life with some care. Live your life carefully moderating how you walk, being wise, making the best use of the time that is given to you, and understanding what God's will is. You want to be a Christian who's awake? You want a remedy for sleepiness? The Bible tells us it's found in prayer. Luke chapter 21, verse 36, Jesus tells his disciples, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you might have strength." A prayerless Christian is a sleeping Christian. And Jesus says, here's a remedy to your sleepiness. Stay awake at all times, praying that you might have strength. What's a remedy to sleepiness? How do you stay awake? By always being prepared. Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming like a thief in the night. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garment on, that he might not go about naked and be seen exposed." The word of God is simply saying, you want a remedy to sleepiness? Live your life always prepared. Friends, I don't know how to close this evening with the urgency that I think is so needed with the words that I've preached, with the words that come to us in the scriptures. I remember when I was 21 years old, been living my life in pattern and habits of sin. I remember very distinctly at 21 years of age, I heard an old man preach a sermon on the sleeping Christian. I don't remember who the man was. I don't even remember what text he was preaching from. But he said, "Here is the great problem in the church today. Everyone is sleeping." He said, "The church is like a great bedroom. And you've all the Christians in bed, and they are crying out, 'Please don't wake me up.'" And he was a Scottish preacher. With his deep baritone voice, he yelled as loudly as he could, "Wake up, you sleeping Christian." And I remember being floored. Realizing in that moment, as the word of God had its powerful effect, I was a sleeping Christian. I was apathetic. I was vulnerable. I was bored, living to satisfy the flesh, living in utter spiritual weakness. And I hope it's not just brushed off as an aside or as some pessimistic note, but with all the love in my heart to you, brothers and sisters, I fear that there are those who are members of this church who are fast asleep, who are living the Christian life with both eyes closed, completely unconscious to the things of God. And it is high time that you wake up. Wake up, you sleeping Christian. Let's pray.